to Market Unplugged, a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Markets Unplugged on CNBCTV18.com. I'm Santosh Nair and I have with me CNBC TV 18 National News Editor Prashant Nair. We're going to be speaking about the key trends in the market today and also what to watch out for next week. Prashant, hi, welcome to the show and good to have you here with us.
Thanks very much, Santosh. Great to be here again.
Yeah, so pretty action-packed week. Saw a fair bit of activity in metal and pharma stocks. But overall, the uptrend continuing and you had benchmark indices climbing for the third week in a row. And this is the first time that's happening since early Jan. So what's the mood like in the market at this point?
You know, there is still, Santosh, like we discussed last week, a fair bit of skepticism about the move given the overall situation. I think as we discussed, the mood seems to be one of optimism beyond what the market is and the economy has to go through at this point in time. And I think that kind of sort of comes through looking at the price action as well. So, you know, week two, Friday to Friday, the Nifty gaining another, 1.25%. It's not large or anything, but it's not bad either. The Bank Nifty sort of coming out on top with about 0.33% in terms of gain. The small cap index, which is, by the way, at a new high, about 2% higher for the week. And you look at the mid cap index, about 1.3% higher as well. So that's also done very, very well. I think what stood out this week, last 5 days especially, has been the performance in the mid and small cap part of the market. So even if you say that the Nifty stocks have seen a fair bit of rotation, dispersion, not really one-sided action, I mean, I think the price action, purely price action in the broader market, in mid caps and especially small caps, is quite heartening.
Well, Prashant, what is driving the action there in mid and small caps? Is it purchases by mutual funds or is it the retail investors and operators ramping up the stocks?
So, I mean, it's got to be a bunch of things. Look, FII, the week gone by, sold about 33,950 crores. Local investors, which is mutual funds and insurance companies, they bought about 667 crores or so. But, you know, if you take out the mutual fund activity, actually, all of the 667 crores came from mutual funds. You know, it's insurance companies who were large buyers were absent this week. This is at least data with the one-day lag. I mean, this data is Thursday that we have.
Okay.
So this looks like, I mean, you know, fund activity plus mutual fund activity, that is plus some, you know, H&I and retail activity. Because you look at the kind of stocks in the mid-cap part of the market, which has done well. It does kind of point to that.
And we've been seeing some good action in steel stocks as well. Tata Steel has been on a tear. So what is driving the interest there?
So a couple of things. I mean, it's a continuation. We've already seen price increases. We began this week, by the way, with another price increase, right? From the beginning, if you go back to the beginning of April, this is now the fourth price increase which we've seen. So that is number one. Then Tata Steel results came out. And numbers were even better than what extremely optimistic expectations were. That's number two. And on Friday morning, we basically had more sort of measures on steel coming through from China. So one big factor has been China trying to curb pollution. Many have been skeptical of it and said that, you know, they've tried this before. They tried this earlier in 2017, but it did not last for very long. But if you look at the rules, and it's not got that much coverage, although stocks on Friday did take note because stocks did very well. But I think the guidelines which have been published are sort of, more detailed. It's much stricter on a variety of parameters. All of it, of course, focused on controlling pollution and that in turn resulting in restrictions on steel output, etc., which may continue. So these are a bunch of things which happened this week. Price increase, results from Tata Steel, and then on Friday we had more measures from China.
So what is the outlook now on the steel sector after the fantastic run that they've had over the past many weeks?
I think it's a fair bit of dizzily. Stocks are extremely overbought. I mean, if you look at technical parameters, the Nifty Metal Index, for example, is up 10% over the last 5 days. It went up 10% the previous 5 days. So over the last 2 weeks, fortnight, I mean, the index is up 20%. So this is as stretched as it can get. I mean, so I would think at some point you will get a pullback. But you could have said this, you know, when we spoke last Friday as well, or maybe the Friday before that, because stocks have been doing very, very well for a while. I would say that you know, there is still amongst institutional investors and even sort of HNIs, positioning is not very heavy as far as steel stocks go, exactly because of these reasons. Because people have said, we've seen this story, China-led story before, and it usually does not last, and it has not. But I think as prices go up, people chase prices higher. There is a bit of fear of missing out the kind of type of activity which is happening. And that is resulting in this furious upward rally. Just one thing specifically with regards to Tata Steel is that Tata Steel is, of course, dependent on what happens to the steel cycle here in terms of prices in India. I mean, there is the medical oxygen issue. There are idiosyncratic country-specific factors as well. But the thing which differentiates Tata Steel from other steel manufacturers is that it's also got a European presence. And commentary from European steel manufacturers in terms of the strength, in terms of inventories there, is bullish. So I think that is essentially why Tata continues to outperform the rest of the steel pack. I would say you typically would want to wait for a pullback, but if you are in, I mean, unless the price itself tells you that it's starting to, the momentum is starting to weaken, I mean, you stay with the trend.
Thanks, Prashant. Pharma is the other sector where you're seeing a lot of buying interest, big gains in stocks like Zydus or Aurobindo. Could you tell us what's happening there?
I think on Thursday, or rather it was Wednesday, we saw a few price action. It was Wednesday. We saw, I mean, anything between 5 and 13, 14% gains across a bunch of names. And there was no noticeable reason except the fact that maybe in the very, over the last 3 months or so, stocks relative to a sector like, metals, etc., has not done as well. But I think there is also, there was also news flow with regards to, you know, U.S. waiving intellectual property rights on at least backing that proposal as far as COVID-19 vaccines go. But I think now it has become more clear that, only the fill-finish kind of guys will benefit. It's not as if technology transfer will happen and local generic manufacturers will start making vaccines. But there are two, and I mentioned this last week as well, there are two plays, direct vaccine-related plays in India. One is Cadila, which is making its vaccine. I think it's called Zykov for COVID-19. They've gone for approvals, and approval should come through under the emergency authorization route. And of course, there is Dr. Reddy's because of the Sputnik vaccine, the Sputnik Light, of course, now also, which has been sort of showcased and introduced. So these are the two direct plays, but I think there are also other names like Aurobindo, etc., which have large amounts of capacity. So the hope in the market is that any deals with foreign manufacturers, both from underlying COVID-related medication and vaccines, may help companies like Aurobindo with large fill-finish capacity as well.
Okay, Prashant, so tell us something about the global picture. Midweek, we had Janet Yellen hinting that interest rates had no way to go but up, and there was some bit of jitteriness. So how does it look at this point? There is a growing fear that given the rate at which the U.S. economy seems poised for growth, global inflation is but inevitable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think when the Treasury Secretary Yellen spoke midweek, that is exactly what she meant. But she kind of walked back on her comments pretty fast in a couple of hours' time. And she said, well, she did not mean or suggest that interest rates have to go up. So I think that kind of was squashed. I think the market does understand that at some point interest rates will need to go up. You know, but the fact is that so far, because there has been such, the commentary from Fed officials starting from Fed chairman has been absolutely in lockstep in terms of trying to convey the message that, you know, it'll be lower for longer for a while to come. And I think even, people who think that eventually rates will have to go up, cost of money will go up, are inclined not to bet against what the Fed is saying very, very explicitly, has been saying very, very explicitly. So I think unless we get evidence to the contrary, and by the way, the Fed has on multiple occasions said that they will indicate, they will give enough time and they will advertise it well enough before they actually start to move on interest rates. So I think that is the reason why I would still believe that the trajectory for the dollar, for example, remains lower. I mean, if the dollar were to go up, that is indirect tightening, right? I mean, for monetary conditions, which is not happening. It's the dollar, even though midweek we did see some buying activity, but I think it's settled now. Commodity prices remain pretty strong. U.S. indices are doing very, very well. And, you know, data there has been surprising. I think on Friday, later we will get the jobs number, maybe 1 million jobs, as the buzz is on the street. in terms of additions, monthly additions. So I don't think there is any reason, at least out of US or even Europe, for example, to doubt the narrative that this is pretty much as Goldilocks a scenario as they come.
So Prashant, what are the key things that you're watching out for next week?
I think it's going to be earnings, and earnings continue to come in. Although, like many have said, and I think we've spoken with lots of managements, they've all said this is what we're reporting now is already in the bag. This is numbers which are pre-COVID in that sense, pre-COVID second wave in that sense. And all of them, and we ask all the managements who come on in terms of what the impact in the month of April and the few days of May so far has been. And there has been impact. I mean, to the tune of 20-25% impacts we have seen compared to April versus March. And that is the reason why in some cases, while you are seeing stocks react and fly high, especially in case of FMCG companies, but in the majority of cases, even with beats that the market has been getting, the reaction has been muted. I mean, take banks, for instance. You know, with no blanket sort of moratorium from the RBI, what it means is that banks will now have to show NPAs, unlike last time. Now, it's not very clear how the market will react when they actually see these NPAs being presented by banks. So I think that is why there is a bit of a wait-and-watch approach across the board, and in banks and financials in particular.
All right, Prashant, thanks for all those insights. It was a pleasure having you on Markets Unplugged.
Always great to be here, Santosh. Thanks very much.